Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone opens today. The novels about this young wizard have sold over 120 million copies in 46 languages, and so it's no surprise that the film version of the first in the series is the most anticipated premiere of the season for many people. Ken Tucker, who has read the books with his children, went to see the movie. Here's his review.
J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter books are small wonders of contemporary pop culture, hugely popular works of genuine literary merit, wildly imaginative children's stories that also delve headlong into the nature of family, love, loyalty, and evil. This is important to remember right now, when the hype over the $125 million movie Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone might make some people feel like Jonathan Franzen in the land of Oprah's, suspicious that books chosen by so many millions of readers, adults as well as kids, couldn't be that good, could they? Well, the books are. The movie isn't quite. As an adaptation of the first book in Rowling's series, the film has the difficult task of introducing a multitude of characters and the creation of an alternate world. Hogwarts, a magical boarding school for the training of wizards. Harry, played by the young British actor Daniel Radcliffe, is a young orphan with a jagged scar on his forehead that brands him as the most powerful wizard of all. But when we first meet him, he's just a hapless boy leading a miserable existence with his unloving aunt and uncle in a drab corner of London. Harry is summoned to Hogwarts by its headmaster, Albus Dumbledore, played here with a very long white beard by Richard Harris. This is every miserable child's fantasy, to be whisked away from adults who don't understand you and taken to a land where everyone recognizes your uniqueness. Harry quickly makes two close friends, the bookish Hermione Granger and the mischievous Ron Weasley, superbly embodied by Emily Watson and Rupert Grint. And he gains a bodyguard of sorts in the gentle giant Hagrid, played by Robbie Coltrane, whom cable TV viewers will know as the considerably more dissolute mystery solver called Cracker. The screenplay is by Steve Close, who's proved he could be wittily adroit at transferring literature to the big screen last year with the Michael Douglas film Wonder Boys. Wit and adroitness are not, however, adjectives that spring to mind when considering the director of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Chris Columbus. Columbus gave us the Home Alone movies and the Robin Williams cross-dressing opus Mrs. Doubtfire. He makes big, obvious movies whose tones could not be more antithetical to J.K. Rowling's sly, glancing one. The Sorcerer's Stone of the title is a craggy jewel that's a source of immense magical energy. It's being sought by the book's embodiment of ultimate evil, Lord Voldemort, and must be kept from him by Harry and his pals.
Hagrid!
Oh, hello. Sorry, don't wish to be rude, but I'm in no fit state to entertain today.
We know about the Sorcerer's Stone!
Oh.
We think Snape's trying to steal it.
Snape? Blimey, you're not still on about him, are you?
Hagrid, we know he's after the stone, we just don't know why.
Snape is one of the teachers protecting the stone. He's not about to steal it.
What?
You heard. Right, come on now. I'm a bit preoccupied today.
Wait a minute. One of the teachers?
Of course. There are other things defending the stone, aren't there? Spells, enchantments.
That's right. Waste of bloody time, if you ask me. Ain't no one going to get past Fluffy. Ain't a soul knows how. Except for me and Dumbledore. I shouldn't have told you that.
Director Chris Columbus has made a movie solely for young kids. He's drained off the pleasure older children and adults get from Rowling's juicy jokes and English boarding school parodies. The director's one visual triumph is a Quidditch match, a sort of airborne combination of hockey, rugby, and polo played on broomsticks. Columbus captures the rough-and-tumble, rowdy confusion of the game. But Columbus squelches the actors in favor of action. Daniel Radcliffe gave a serious, nuanced performance in a BBC version of David Copperfield a couple of years ago, but Columbus doesn't give the kid any breathing room here. He's called upon primarily to either open his eyes in wide amazement or to grin in happy triumph. One of the great pleasures of Rowling's books is their lack of narrative drive. She's less a novelist than a writer of chapters, each of which meanders in a pleasingly rambling way. This, of course, is precisely the opposite of what's deemed essential in most Hollywood movies, what screenwriters call an emotional through line, a theme to thread through the movie, pulling it taut at the end. Columbus and screenwriter Close know what Rowling's message is. It's the same as the Beatles. All you need is love. The problem is that the movie makers don't trust in the power of such simplicity. so they waste gobs of screen time with frenetic chases and overblown special effects and some of the most intrusive, bombastic music John Williams has ever composed. Chris Columbus is already at work on adaptations of the three Potter sequels. Having gotten this polite, throat-clearing introduction out of his system, let's hope his next movies do what Rowling's books have done: become deeper, funnier, scarier.
Ken Tucker is critic at large for Entertainment Weekly.